Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Chapter 27. Early the following morning, a great number of people leave the city of Capernaum. The Lord Jesus, surrounded by his disciples, walks among them. He leaves Capernaum to perform his labors in one of the other cities of Galilee. Undoubtedly, hundreds of Jews go with him, for we read in the Bible, much people. The road goes uphill. Against the mountains, for Capernaum lies on the shore of the Sea of Gennesaret in the plain. They have a long, tiresome journey before them. Jesus is on the way to Nain. The distance to this city is a few hours' walk from Capernaum. It is not so warm in the early hours of the morning, but it will get warmer. As the sun rises higher and the heat rises, hour after hour they walk forward. Many get tired. The heat increases. Many longingly look forward to the end of the journey, wishing for the moment when they can rest. The journey is so long. Nain is so far away. But finally, toward midday, they approach the little Galilean city. They are happy for that. A little more patience, and they will be there. In the distance, they can see the houses of Nain. At last, they have come near the gate. Another few moments, and their ultimate object will be obtained. But the same morning when Jesus left the gates of Capernaum, a woman of Nain sat at the deathbed of her only child. She was a widow. She was without the help and support of her husband, who had been taken from her by death. One good thing, she still had a child, a boy. She gave all the love of her heart to her only son, and she had nothing else in the world. He was her support. He was her comfort. Most likely, this young man worked to maintain her. But her child became sick, and this morning he lay at the point of death. She realizes he is seriously ill. Her heart shudders with the thought, and that she must also lose her son. What went on in the heart of this sorely tried woman? Oh, as she would like to have kept fast hold of her child, as she would like to have kept back death. But death will not be kept back. Death comes unyieldingly. It also happens here with the son of this sorrowing widow. There he lies. Look at him. He gasps for breath. His eyes break. Yet a last sigh, and death has cut off that young life. Perhaps the mother sobbingly pressed the eyes of her only child closed. Soon, the sad news goes through the city. Many, very many, get ready to bring the dead one to his last resting place. Everyone knows the widow and her son. Now they will pay him their last respect. In our country, the dead are usually buried the third or fourth day after death. But that could not be done in the Orient. Because it was so warm there, the dead were buried the same day. Nothing else could be done. The intense heat caused the bodies to decay very speedily. See them, already coming with the stretcher. The dead one is wrapped in cloths and laid upon a bier. For the last time, the youth is carried from his home. Loud lamentations resound. The procession begins to move. We read in the Bible that much people of the city were with the widow. Shaking with sobs and with bowed head, the deeply sorrowing mother stumbles to the grave with the multitude. For her, it is the second time she had to make the terrible journey to the cemetery. The first time was when her husband was carried to his last resting place. We do not know how long that was before this. The Bible is silent about it. It could be it wasn't too long ago. Still, it is very possible she lived as a widow for many years. But at the first burial, she still had a child. Now, she is walking the same road, and this time her only child is being carried away. Now she has lost everything. Afterward, when she will return to her home, no one will be there to greet her. From now on, the place where her son always sat will be empty. When she locks her door at night, her child will be lying in the dark grave. In the future, she will have to go through life alone. Is it any wonder this poor woman wept bitter tears? Is it any wonder her heart almost breaks from sadness and grief? Yes, now her fellow townsmen try to show their sympathy, but after her son is buried, each will return to his own home, and she will be left alone. This is such a hard, hard walk for this weeping widow. The long procession goes upon the road which leads to the gate, because the dead are buried outside the city. Soon the city of Nain lies behind them. Suddenly, everyone looks with surprise up the road, for yonder in the distance they see many people approaching. What can that be? For what reason are so many people coming to Nain? Everyone's attention is drawn away from the dead, and from the mother who mourns so intensely, and is centered upon those who are approaching. They look inquisitively. You know who they are, don't you? These two groups of people approach each other. The one group is on the way to Nain, anxiously longing for the end of their journey. The other group is leaving Nain, going to the cemetery. The foremost ones from Capernaum already are walking past the mourning funeral procession. They do not know who is being buried. A funeral? Ah, yes, that occurs daily. Nothing unusual. It doesn't concern them, and that a widow is bringing away her only son. They are anxious to reach Nain as soon as possible. The thought that Jesus will help never enters their minds. Nothing can be done here. If he had been crippled or blind or leprous or suffering from another affliction, it would be possible. But here it is ended forever. No help is possible because the widow's son is dead. However, the Lord Jesus suddenly stands still. He knows very well who is being carried away. He knows well what is going on in the heart of this weeping woman. He knows this journey is almost too heavy for her to bear. The soul of Jesus is filled with compassion. We read in the Bible that he had compassion on her. See him walking to the widow and saying to her, "Weep not." Do not weep. Is it any wonder this woman weeps from grief and unspeakable sorrow? Weep not? How can the Lord Jesus say this? Wouldn't she weep? She is taking away and the last of what was dear and loving to her. Weep not. Oh, no one understands the Lord Jesus. Could be many of the Galileans who have come with him become impatient. Why this delay? Must they wait longer? Is deliverance possible in this case? But look, Jesus walks to the coffin and touches it. The bearers stand still and look bewildered. What does this stranger want? The loud lamentations cease, becomes quiet. Will he? Suddenly, the voice of the Lord Jesus rings out, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Jesus says this commandingly. He says it with authority. And then, the eyes of everyone present open wide with astonishment. Everyone holds his breath, for, oh, just look, the dead one opens his eyes, sits upright, and begins to talk. The dead is alive again. How is that possible? To be sure, centuries ago, the prophet Elijah also raised one who was dead. He was the son of the widow of Zarephath. But at that time, Elijah knelt and prayed. Then he stretched himself over the child 3 times, and not until then did life revive again. The prophet Elisha also raised one from the dead. He was the son of the Shunammite woman, but he knelt and humbly pleaded to God if he again would restore life to the child. Afterward, he lay upon the youth 2 times. Then the flesh of the lad became warm. However, that is not done here. The Lord Jesus does not pray. No, he commands. Why the difference? Elijah and Elisha were people, and God used them as the means. But here the Son of God speaks. Jesus does not request. No, he commands. The King of Kings orders, and death must depart immediately. And what does the Lord Jesus do then? Read what is recorded. He delivered him to his mother. See them embracing each other. Probably the widow wept more than before. But now she doesn't weep tears of grief, but tears of unknown happiness. Her grief was great, but her joy was greater. The many Jews witnessed this with speechless astonishment. Their hearts are filled with joy and respect. Oh, this never has happened before. They have seen many miracles. But such a thing, no, this was never expected. Jesus always had helped when it was asked of him, but at this time he wasn't asked, and still he helped. God's word tells us they glorified God and said, "A great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people." Look at the great multitude. Their number had doubled. Their eyes sparkle as they look at the Lord Jesus with great admiration. But they do not worship him or acknowledge him as the Son of God, the Savior. Their admiration is of short duration. Read attentively what they say. A great prophet is risen up among us. a prophet. They do not say the prophet, the only prophet. Oh no, Elijah and Elisha were great prophets. And to the multitude, the Lord Jesus also is a prophet like they were, and no more. In those words, we see and they undervalued the Lord Jesus. For those people, he is and remains Jesus of Nazareth, and the son of Joseph. The people in the funeral procession, which is no longer a funeral procession, return to the city. They need not go further. We do not know whether or not Jesus with his disciples and the hundreds of followers went with them into Nain, and if so, how long they remained there. The Bible does not tell us. The mother again enters her home with her son who had been raised from the dead. Oh, this day has become a wonderful day for both of them. The people of Nain did not go to their work for the rest of that day. In every house, the conversation is about this great miracle which has taken place. Yes, it isn't long before it is known in all the surrounding country. This news goes from mouth to mouth, even to far away Judea, where many proud Pharisees live. The Pharisees hear it, and terror strikes their hearts. For yes, they cannot deny a great miracle has been performed. But to acknowledge Jesus as the long-promised Messiah? No, that never. Hasn't this been an interesting story, children? Probably you are thinking, if only we had lived in those days. Why? Do you think you could have been converted easier in those days? Why, no. Seemingly, yes, but it is not so. Yes, but you could have gone to him and asked it of him, couldn't you? You could have kept close to him then. Well, you can do that now too, for Jesus is not dead. He is alive. He hears you, he sees you, and he knows what is in your hearts, for he knows everyone's thoughts. What the Lord Jesus did to the young man of Nain, he also must do to you, if you would be truly blessed. From death, you must be made alive. Perhaps some of you will ask, dead? Are we dead? And the answer is, yes, you are dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. Every person who is to be converted by God, whether old or young, must be made alive by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Oh, it is so difficult to understand, isn't it? That is true. But one thing you must remember well, and you must never, no, never forget it. Today, there are thousands of people who say man is not spiritually dead. Oh no, all we have to do is believe. We must accept the Lord Jesus. But that is a lie, for we will not and cannot accept Jesus. Of ourselves, we neither want to nor can accept anything. Why not? Because we lie dead in trespasses and sins. But what then? Is it hopeless? No. The same Jesus who raised the youth of Nain from the dead can make our dead souls alive by his word and spirit. We read in the Bible, "The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Wouldn't it be a great blessing if Jesus would also say to you, My son, my daughter, I say unto thee, arise, arise out of spiritual death and live. Live to the honor of God here upon earth, and after death in eternal glory.